Welcome back to Matt Time. I am Daniel Tension, joined as always by my good friend Zach Sarah. How you doing tonight, Zach?
I'm doing great, Big Dan. How you doing?
Doing real well. Got a real special guest with us here tonight. We're going to bring him right in and start talking. Our very own Kyle Bracke. How you doing tonight, Kyle?
I'm good, guys. Really appreciate you having me on. I think this podcast and what you guys have been doing is really great for the state of West Virginia wrestling and can help take it to the next level. So I appreciate you having me.
Oh, man, we're really excited to have you.
Honored to have you on. You know, Big Dan and I had talked a while ago, and you were one of the first names we brought up as far as special guests. So, like I said, we're thrilled to have you joining us again.
And you're like us, kind of crazy schedule. So it's been a little while of us trying to actually get together and do this, but we finally got a chance. And we're just excited to have you get your opinion on some things. But first, former Big Red yourself, former state champion,
right.
four-time state placer. And you really took off with this wrestling thing and made a little career out of it for a while. So tell us how you got to Flow and your route through OU and all the good stuff there within.
Yeah, it's been a crazy journey. I don't think I imagined when I got started in the sport that every job I've had since I left college has been around the sport of wrestling. I don't think a lot of people are lucky enough to be able to do that, so I'm very fortunate. I started wrestling when I was five with the little local team in Vienna, and then went to the Cougars, and I was lucky to be around just some amazing wrestlers. You know, I found a team picture the other day, and it was just insane.
Probably the who's who of wrestling in that area.
Yeah, you know, the Brandon Raiders, the Lou Thomases, the Lindemood brothers.
Oh yeah, there's I'm sure Andy Thomas was around too.
Andy Thomas, yeah, of course. Lou, Jordan Nolan.
He was around your age there, so.
Oh yeah, that was my main training partner from the time we were about six, and still best friends today. So, Ryan Ewing, Ryan Dierman, Robert Shriver, some just insane talent, and then
a lot of champions names right there. There's a lot of titles in this picture you just mentioned.
Yeah, all those guys I just mentioned won at least one state title, and the majority of them won more. Andy was a four-timer. Brandon was a four-timer. Chance Litton, forgot about Chance.
He had a monster senior year, the same as Raider did, especially down at Nationals. I
remember
a national title, kind of unexpectedly, too.
100%. You know, when they won NHSCAs, that was when it was still very much a little more exclusive than it is now. You know, you had to be a state finalist, I think, to enter, unless you were in some states and you got a special exemption. He beat Jay Borschel, who I believe went on to be a national champion at Iowa in the finals. And Brandon won, and at the time they were the first duo from a public high school to win senior nationals in the same year.
That's an incredible
feat. So I was blessed to be around some incredible wrestlers and coaches, and Mike Litton, who's in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame now, and going up through high school, Coach Schinnerline, who he's in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame now too, did a great job in the assistants with Troy Owens, another Hall of Famer, and Steve Rader, and Chris Way, who's now the AD at PHS. The really cool thing about PHS too was the alumni support that you have. Anytime Thanksgiving or Christmas break, I mean, the room was just packed with guys that wanted to come back and wanted to help, because when they were in high school, that's what everyone did before them. I mean, it's cool too, because the coach at the time introduces who you are to the team and what you did in high school and everything like that. So just a really great culture of wrestling. And I was fortunate to be on good high school teams with a lot of those guys I just mentioned. My freshman, sophomore year, we won state titles.
Yep.
My freshman year, we put seven in the finals. My sophomore year, we put eight. So it was just incredible teams, and some of my favorite memories in wrestling and stuff that you'll never forget. and then was fortunate enough to do well enough. USA, I was four-time placer, made the finals three times. Fortunately, couldn't get over the Dirk Bauer-sized mountain.
Yeah, he was right around the same time as Bauer, too, and he was a pretty special talent in this state as well.
Dirk was good, and he had my number. I couldn't get away on bottom. He was a great wrestler, and it was cool to see that. I was kind of jealous the year before my senior year, West Virginia was the team that got to go to Dapper Dan and wrestled yes. Team Whippeal.
Yep.
And so Dirk got to do that, and he won and beat the Pennsylvania kid. So it was cool to go and watch that.
That Dapper Dan team was really good too.
Yes, no, it was very good, and they beat the Whippeal team.
Yeah, we won. I remember that we beat them.
Yeah,
they thought it was kind of shocking, but when I saw our line, we should probably go win this. That's a pretty good
kids. Yeah, that was really good for West Virginia wrestling, and hopefully some West Virginia kids will get that opportunity again soon. I know they don't like getting beat, but hopefully they get to go back there soon.
They started picking from this core of seniors this year, especially. There's a lot of really, really good wrestlers around the state that could compete in any state whatsoever. They can compete and win 100%.
Yeah, and you're seeing that now more and more with kids from around the state doing well at national tournaments and making rankings across the board. So it's awesome to see. I think West Virginia wrestling is in a good place, starting to get in a better place. I think depth-wise than when I was in high school. I think it was pretty top-heavy when I was in high school.
I agree with you. The good were good, and then there was kind of a gap until you found the next talent.
Exactly. And I think that's starting to close, that gap like you're talking about. I graduated in 2010. Was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to wrestle at Ohio University. 40 minutes up the road from Parkersburg or so. And, you know, I really, really wanted to go into broadcast journalism. They had a really good journalism program, and I was fortunate enough to get in there. And Coach Greenlee and I kind of clicked right away. And I also liked that. I liked going somewhere different. You know, it felt like I feel like 90% of our senior graduating class was going to West Virginia.
Right.
Going off a little, branching out and going, doing your own thing. And
So, and Jordan Nolan, like we mentioned him, he was going there as well. So we were going to be roommates. And, you know, now I'm here, obviously, at West Virginia University. I love West Virginia. I was always a Mountaineer. Every Saturday, we had a West Virginia flag up in our dorm room. We were cheering on the Mountaineers every Saturday. But I don't know if I'd be where I am today if I hadn't chose that route. You know, I feel like everything just kind of lined up that way. And, you know, when I was there, I started working at one of the cool things about OU that really set their school apart was they had an entirely student-run television station, yes. WOUB. And I started working. They have a daily show and started helping and learning how to do all the things that went into that. And then the big show, kind of their crown jewel, is Gridiron Glory, which is the high school football show. And for those that don't know, it's really cool. You essentially get assigned if you you do, there's a tryout process, and usually the upperclassmen, the juniors and seniors, are the ones that make the air, but you get assigned a conference that they cover in about an hour area, and you get assigned a conference. There's a game of the week in the conference, and you and a camera person who's also a student go out and film for about a half, then you come back and you create highlights, you write a story, and then at 11 o'clock you go live, and it's like SportsCenter. And so I was fortunate enough to get to do that for a couple years and got some on-air live experience, which I don't think a lot of college kids can say. So it was an incredible opportunity, and so that was really awesome. And then my sophomore year, I was on Flow Wrestling. I saw they had internships, and there were a few, and I actually applied to the social media intern. I thought I was good on social media, and I would do a good job with that. And I'd put my resume on there and shared some clips that I had done at the TV station and some videos that I'd helped make there. And they reached back out to me. I'll never forget, Mark Bader called, and he was like, hey, we have a guy for the social media position, but we saw some of your videos. We think maybe video editing. You can do the video editing internship. And I didn't feel super confident in my video editing skills. He's like, we'll give you access to the back end of the site, and you download some videos, make a highlight video for a couple of your favorite wrestlers and send them to us. And if they're good, you know, you got the internship. And it was like on a Friday he called. And I remember I locked myself in my dorm all weekend, and I made these highlight videos for Kyle Dake. One was for Kyle Dake, and one was for David Taylor. They were both finishing up their college careers at the time.
Pretty good choice. And, I'd say you had two highlights to choose from.
Those guys weren't bad. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did those, and I sent them to him. And before he could even respond, they were featured on the front page of Flow. And I was like, no, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Yeah.
Nice.
And that was when you could see like how many views all of them had, like each video had, and they both got like over 50,000 views. The Taylor one on YouTube took off. It was like over a couple hundred thousand views on YouTube.
So you assumed you got it at that point.
So then, you know, Bader called again. We worked out the details, and later that summer, I got to spend the summer in Austin, Texas, at their headquarters. And it was just a really cool opportunity. It's kind of crazy looking back now. Was it nine years later? So 10 years later now. I think they were at like 12 employees. And now, I mean, they got to be over 300 now.
Yeah, they're big.
Exponentially. Big. Yeah, I mean.
They're a little stingy with those rankings sometimes, but.
I agree.
You're in pretty good shape.
I agree. But yeah, so I got to spend the summer there and get to work with a lot of the guys that are still there now, and really learned a lot that I still use today, and helped shape who I am professionally and I think as a person. And then that kind of got my foot in the door, you know. And then so I would travel with Ohio everywhere we went, and I was doing a lot of the social media, a lot of video editing, just really trying to raise our brand and profile as much as possible. And I was lucky to be around a lot of good wrestlers there. You know, my senior year, they tied their record for the most NCAA qualifiers with 6. They had an All-American, I think, 3 years in a row with Jeremy Johnson twice and Cody Walters. So it was really cool to be around those teams and get to film them and promote them. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, sorry to interrupt you. Had Coach Greenlee not allowed you to be involved with the team, because you know you wrestled a year and then you know you chose not to continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had he not allowed you to, you know, do what you did with the team, do you think you would be where you're at today? I mean, it sounds to me like he's pretty instrumental in, you know, your career as far as what you've done in wrestling. I came across that tidbit today, and I was like, man, you know, that's a big X factor there to allow you to still be around and you know, do your thing. So
no, 100%. I might not be. Yeah, you know, it just was competing in wrestling just wasn't for me anymore. And you know, I went and talked to him about that. And I think at that time I was really wanting to do more at the TV station, and I just couldn't with the practice schedule. I mean, you're essentially, it's a full-time job, you know, plus you're going to class and everything. So I went and talked to him, and he's like, why don't you do this? And pitched me on the idea of it. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it kind of reinvigorated my love for the sport, to be honest, because I think it was kind of waning. So, you know, yeah, Coach Greenlee's instrumental. We're still close to this day. You know, we were talking before about us talking, and it was cool to get to go back and duel them this year, and the series we usually try to keep on the schedule. So, no, Coach Greenlee is awesome and had done a lot for me. And even after I graduated, he was trying to put me in touch with guys that he knew in the broadcasting field to try to help in any way. And he's really good, dude. But anywhere we would go, like we went to Scuffle, went to Reno TOC that Flo was at or doing something, I would kind of double dip. I would do commentary, and then work with OU as well. And then that allowed me just to keep my foot in the door with them. And because when I interned, I didn't really get to do any commentary, because at the time they didn't have a ton of rights. Like I didn't even think they had Fargo Live at the time. But they were starting to get more and more of the live video. So I got to do some commentary at Scuffle and Reno TOC and meet more and more of the guys like Christian. He'd come on after I'd done my internships. I got to meet Christian. So I graduated in 2014 from OU, and I was just back in Parkersburg applying for jobs at all these TV stations for way less money than I should be applying for jobs.
I know the train of thought. You're just trying to get your foot in the door and get in.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of those businesses where you just gotta, if you really want to make it big, you just gotta take any local TV job you can get and just work your butt off.
Yeah, run with it. Take it and run.
Yeah. And just try to get your tape out to as many people as possible and try to keep working your way up. And I all these places want experience, and it's so hard to have experience when you're in college. And yeah. I mean, luckily I did have some, but it's tough. So I had been applying places for 4 or 5 months, and Willie Saylor called and he was like, "What are you doing?" He had started during my internship, and I was like, "Trying to find a job."
Out. And he's out, man.
Yeah. And he's like, "Well, I might have an answer to your problems. You know, we're hiring a full-time content person. We thought of you and thought you might be interested." So did a few interviews there. And I mean, I think it was like 3 weeks from the time Willie first called to the time I told me I got the job and they'd like me in Austin in 2 weeks. So I had a Jeep Explorer at the time, and I put down the back two seats and I drove to Austin.
Packed up and
Yeah, I didn't have a place to live. Willie was like, "We'll figure it out when you get here." They were hiring another full-time content guy around the same time. So he was like, "You two should live together." But as you know, it's not easy to find a place to live when you're not actually in that town.
Yeah.
So he's like, we'll find a place for you guys to stay. Just get down here. We'll figure it out then." So I got down to Austin, and I'm sleeping on Willie's couch for the first month or so. And me and Ryan Holmes and another one of the Flow guys found a house together and started living together. And I was there for 7 years. Started off in content, just creating articles, videos, anything for the site that I thought wrestling fans would like. We're promoting our live events, breaking news, recruiting stories, stuff like that. And actually about a year and a half in, it's kind of crazy to think back now, but there was no marketing department at Flow. It was just kind of like, there was one person, because a lot of people don't know there's Flow Wrestling, but Flow Wrestling is underneath the Flow Sports umbrella.
Right.
Yeah. And there's like sport. Yeah, they have all kinds of Flow Track, Flow Football, Flow whatever.
Flow Marching Band. Like it's insane now. It's like 20 sports. I'm serious. Flow Racing, I know, doing really well that a lot of wrestling fans like. But there was no marketing department. It was just like someone from each site just ran the social media, and they were essentially the marketing person. So they created these marketing, this marketing department, and they were like, "Well, we think you'd be a good fit in that if you'd like to move there." And it was less content. I still did some content, but it was more social media. So I essentially took over the social media pages at that time. So I did really was the main person posting there for 5 years or so. And that just, so each piece of content that we put up on the site, that got featured on the site, we also Facebooked and tweeted out. So right. I've scheduled those out, and was trying to come up with copy all day that made someone want to click or subscribe or view our video or whatever it was. And just was like, and we also did mass newsletters, all that stuff. So it was just kind of like, how can we drive subscriptions? How can we drive people to the site? All that stuff. And then my last year and a half or so, I moved back into content. We'd really put a lot of more manpower into the marketing department. So we had two other people now working with me full time on marketing, and content was down a person, and they're like, well, we'd really like you to come back. And the social media was a grind. You know, I don't think I ever shut my laptop.
Yeah,
like it was when I was home, it was open because I didn't know when breaking news was going to happen. We had a Slack channel all together. We were always talking in. When I went somewhere with my wife or whatever, I had my backpack with me. And like, I remember multiple times, like, hey, we got to find a McDonald's or someone's Wi-Fi. I got to tweet something or I got to Facebook something. So it was like you were always on call.
Sure, she loved it.
Yeah, yeah, it was the best.
It was never ever a problem ever.
not once. So we just had a kid, so it was like, okay, I think it's a good time to kind of go back into content, slow things down a little bit. I can be away from the computer a little bit more. And I would start going on content trips, but just when you were home, I could be more present. You know, I wasn't
absolutely
on the computer as much. Yeah. So I did that for the last year and a half. And then, you know, this opportunity here at West Virginia kind of fell in my lap. And it's kind of the perfect storm. You know, college sports have always been a huge passion of mine. You know, as I mentioned before, I've been a Mountaineer fan since I was a little kid, but there's just something really cool about college sports and the passion and pageantry with them. And at Flow, getting to work with a lot of college teams and get to be behind the scenes with a lot of college teams. It was cool just to see how they operated and were run. And that was just something I couldn't get off my mind. So I, you know, while I was at Flow, I was like, maybe someday down the line, I'll want to get into that field. Doing my research, it looked like getting a master's in sport management would give me a nice looking resume for that field. So I did that online from the University of Florida. And then this opportunity kind of came up. I would say really probably first time I heard about it was January 2021. I was close with, I'd mentioned Cody Walters earlier on those Ohio teams, and he was the volunteer here for the first 3 years. Yeah. Coach Flynn was here in Morgantown. He was two-time All-American there. So I was really close with Cody. And then it's funny, Mitchell Port, one of the assistants too, we used to wrestle when we were kids. So I knew Mitchell a little bit. And when this coaching staff, Flynn and Cliff, Mitchell and Cody had gotten to town, it was right before I was going to be married, so I was back in West Virginia, and I was like, well, I'll take a trip up there for the day and get interviews with them and for the site. And so when I did that, I got to know Coach Flynn, because I hadn't gotten a chance to meet Coach Flynn before. So I got to meet Coach Flynn, I got to meet Coach Moore, and get to know Mitchell even better and spend some time with Cody. And Cody would always joke to me, when are you coming home? When are you coming back here? And I said, well, when you got a job for me. So, yeah. So this is a position that, you know, they wanted, I think, since they got here. You know, it's a position that a lot of the top programs in the nation have, and one that allows the coaches to focus more on coaching and not having to do a lot of the off the mat stuff. That a lot of people don't realize goes into college wrestling, dealing with compliance and the athletic communications department and fundraising and alumni and social media. That's another big thing I'm doing, and logistics with travel, like everything that a lot of people don't think about. I'm trying to take as much off their plate as possible so that they can be in the room more. They can be recruiting more, like just focusing on actual things that help their job.
Right. The coaches need to be doing.
Yeah. Coaches.
Exactly.
You handle everything else.
So you're busy. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's the goal. I should always be busy. It's tough to get some of that stuff off the plate, I think, just because they've been doing it so long. But I'm slowly getting more and more, which is good. So talked to Coach Flynn in January. Just he kind of gauged my interest a little bit. And, you know, was like, you know, still working on getting the position set up and all that stuff. And then I would say things really started to pick up in April. Because this position had not, you know, been a thing here before.
Right.
So they finally got the approval for it, and we had to go through the formal interview process and all that stuff. So I got here in June, and it's been kind of a whirlwind since. Got jumped right into the fire, and it's been a lot of stuff that I didn't realize went on either, too, that I've been learning. And I think anytime you take a new job, you're trying to learn all the new tricks of the trade, who you need to talk to for what and all that stuff. So I feel like I'm getting in a good groove now. And the season, as you said, has kept us busy. We've been on, we've done Thursday through Sunday road trips the past 2 weeks to the South Dakota, to the Dakotas, South and North, and then to Iowa last weekend. So it's been busy, but glad we finally got to do it.
Well, that's awesome. It's good to see. I mean, it's a long way to come home, but lots of great experience. And like you said, you were at the ground level of Flow before Flow really is what it is today. Yeah. It's gigantic now. They own the market, so to speak, in the media of wrestling. So it's good. It's good to have you back. Number one, it's good to see you here in West Virginia, taking care of the West Virginia stuff. And good things are happening up there in Morgantown. Got some ranked kids in the NCAA standings, and you know, trying to build off last year's success.
Absolutely, and you know, yeah, four qualifiers last year. We had the preseason number one at 197 pounds, Noah Adams, and you have an All American in Killian Cardinal.
Yeah, he wrestled out of his mind. He wrestled.
He did. You know, he did, and you know, I think. And, you know, I kind of mentioned when I was at Flow, but I know Killian doesn't want to talk about it a lot. And obviously the coach didn't talk about it a lot, but he had major shoulder surgery in the offseason. You know, he was wrestling with one arm and still did what he did.
Yeah, I remember getting all bandaged up and
taking
care of business. But
yeah, when he's on, I mean, that's a guy that can make the NCAA finals. I truly believe that. And I think you saw that Saturday night when he majored Brody Teske.
Yeah.
It was around a 12 guy last year himself in the Big 12 champion.
Yeah.
Noah leaving hurt, obviously, just because that's a big hole to fill. The number one guy in the country, he's an All American.
Yeah, that's tough.
But you can't thank him enough for everything he did for the program. I mean, going 19-15 to 32-0 showed everyone in the country that you can do it here. You know, you can do it with this coaching staff and everyone. And then Peyton has really, really carried a torch too for the program. You know, obviously he got better and better as the season went on. I don't think anyone would have predicted going into NCAA that he'd be around the 12 guy and beating three guys, I think, ranked ahead of him.
We actually said that. I really liked his path to AA. I knew it was going to take one big win in that bottom bracket. And unfortunately, it was Valencia there that
got
us. But
we were close.
And we were real close on that one.
Yeah.
I just liked his draw. I thought he could win the first one. And then once he got down there, he's going to have a pretty good draw until the blood round. And that's exactly what happened. It just sucked that he ran into a hammer. And that was what sucks is that was the best match Valencia wrestled all weekend.
I know. I remember because I was at Flow at the time, but I was thinking, man, if he can weather the first period storm from Anthony, his pace is going to wear on him.
Yeah.
Fortunately.
But Anthony, I mean, he's a freak athlete, and he's a guy that he, I mean, Valencia was a guy who in high school was beating senior level guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's a real so guy. He's incredible, but you know, Peyton's continued to jump levels. Obviously making the Southern Scuffle finals.
He's been like that since high school. His freshman and sophomore years, he was in some dog fights for state titles. By the end of it, it was just almost laughable how much better he was than everybody. Yeah. I mean, he just get better and better and better and better every single time he stepped on a mat. And I'm glad that he's still rolling. He hasn't peaked yet.
No, oh no, not at all. He has not. You know, beating Patrick Kennedy at the scuffle, you know, they were in the same high school recruiting class. And I think Kennedy was the third ranked recruit and Peyton was 30 something. So to beat a guy like that. And then, he gets the first takedown on, you know, now number one, Keegan O'Toole. Yeah. And, you know, I think he's felt him and he gained some confidence from that. Knowing that he can take that guy down. He's going to be a handful in March.
Yeah, getting no love in the rankings right now, 17 and 16. But it's like, hey, let people not worry about it.
I think he should move back up. He should move back up after this weekend. You know, he kind of got caught by Weber at NDSU.
Yeah.
And he'd majored him before, but you know, now he on Saturday night he beat Yant, who was ranked ninth in the country and had a win over Whitlake. So that should move.
Well, one thing we've talked about quite a bit when trying to explain to those that don't follow college wrestling, that when you're that talented, when there's that many great wrestlers, it's honestly match to match in most situations. Very rarely do you just see a matchup and like, all right, that's an easy win for this guy, especially when you're talking, you know, 6 through 12 or whatever. Any given match, one could beat the other. It's just who's on that at that time. Who's on? And that's how you get to
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like you're saying, it's day to day, and you're going to, when you're a guy like Peyton now, you're going to get everybody's best shot.
Yeah.
And
No one's going to sleep on you.
Yeah. They don't care how you feel that day. They don't care if we drove 3 hours from Brookings to Fargo 2 hours before we wrestled.
Don't care if you got a bad cut. They don't care about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't care that you're weighing in. Yeah, they don't care that you're weighing in for the second time in 18 hours. they want to beat you. As you mentioned, we got what's that?
That's that was last year. I mean, the national champs only loss came to Adams. That's the only time. Yeah. That just tells you how close it is with that talent. It's insane, and I just don't think enough people understand that. At this level, it's tiny things that separate national champions from not even making the podium. Tiny things.
Exactly. And you look at each week, you know, Flo does a upsets article, and it's 40 upsets a week of ranked guys, and a lot of them are unranked losses. And it's like you're saying, it's the little things. And that's what makes the difference. And you know, that's one thing that the coaches are always preaching to our guys is the little things will – you know, Flynn was talking to the guys after you and I, and it's like, you know, I believe in doing the right things. And if you stack them up and you consistently keep doing them, it might not pay off next week or a Big 12, but it might in St. or Detroit this year. You know, you just never know when it's going to finally amount and be enough. So that's one thing we're preaching to our guys, but you know, we have three wrestlers in the top 22 right now. And the last coach's ranking with Killian and Peyton in the top 10, that was the first time West Virginia had two top 10 wrestlers since 2017. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And if I think the way we're recruiting, we're setting up for a good future. Obviously we want to win now and we're evaluating every option that we have to do that now. But Jordan Titus just had a really good weekend at the Edinburgh Open, and he's top 25 recruit, a guy that won Ironman, was at Who's Number One. And he's had kind of an up and down year, but that's kind of to be expected with a true freshman.
Yeah.
Learning the ropes.
Some growing pains there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, the lineup still is, you know, so young. I think five guys in our lineup are still technically freshmen. Yeah. Because of the COVID year, you know, Peyton included, Michael Wolf from the heavyweight, Anthony Carmen, Jeff Boyd. So a lot of West Virginia flavor in the lineup too.
And more coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian Bush, signing in the class of 2022. And, you know, the other thing that we're really trying to build this program is just with kids like Ian Bush, the right kind of kids. He's at the very top of his class academically. He's got over a 4.0. And then he just works his tail off.
Yeah, he's having a great season. Great season right now.
He's in the blood round at Fargo last year. You know, he goes up to Quest in Pennsylvania to train all the time. Guy runs Quest Jim Akerley. He was an All-American at West Virginia in the 80s. So he couldn't speak more highly of Ian, and getting to know him and his dad throughout the process was really cool. Glad he's staying home.
Yes, yeah, it's good to keep that talent in state. Absolutely. Can't get them all, but get as many of the good ones as you can. And that's all based on need. I mean, recruiting is a whole different, complicated process, I'm sure.
Totally. It is. It is. And, you know, I think that's talking about college wrestling. A lot of people don't realize is just how few scholarships there are in college wrestling. It's 9.9. So that's not even.
Right? I'll say it's 9.9 for trying to fill 10 classes, which is weird.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's assuming you just give scholarships to your starters, and you never know who that's going to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. Correct. So now wrestling can split them up. Like, okay, this guy gets 40, this guy gets 30. Some sports like football and I believe basketball can't do that.
It's a full scholarship period. Everybody else.
Yeah. Can. Yeah. So, and the other thing that's, and it's not 9.9 new ones every year.
No, it's a
salary cap that you have to be under at all times. So, I think that
down in that the other day, cause we were watching a duel on Big Tens, and you know, there was people missing normal starters. Like, yeah, you know, it's hard to send a backup out a lot of times and try to compete because those guys are not not scholarship athletes, and it's hard to keep guys in the room without them transferring out because, you know, they're going to go somewhere where they can get a scholarship. Whereas, you know, you're not going to sit behind somebody, you know, just to wait. And she was amazed. I mean, she knows wrestling from just the short amount of time that we've been together, but not to, you know, the nicks and crannies of it. But yeah, she was confused about that and was really surprised by the lack of scholarships. Like, you know, you got scholarship guys on football team that never see the field.
And, right.
You know, wrestling, that ain't, you know, that's not the case.
That's not the case. Yeah. Your scholarship guys are on the mat. Yeah. That's where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you're saying, football gets 25 brand new full rides a year. They have a cap. They have to be under 85. But they're usually no problem being under that, like now, especially now with the transfer portal, as they're leaving like crazy. But so you guys would be under that 9.9. So it's all about, okay, do we have money? Okay.
That answer is normally no. I don't.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. If we do, it's not a ton. And then it's like, okay, well, we have Peyton for 4 years. Do we need a guy that way? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you evaluate need and, so it's tough. And then you also have to factor in, oh yeah, other schools are allowed to offer this guy money too.
Yeah.
Maybe more. So maybe they have money.
Maybe more. And then now with NIL possibilities, do they have something else that they can throw in to sweeten the pot? And what is that kid interested in? Does that school have a better program than what we have? Or, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a crazy business. But I kind of find it fun. So that I enjoy.
Sure, it's exciting and disappointing all the time.
Yeah.
Someone you think you have, you just didn't get them.
Yeah.
But you did have an Ironman champ, though.
We did.
Big win there. Kind of an upset special, too. They didn't expect him to win it, and he goes out and says, I was going to win this. That's fine.
Brody Conley, out of Tiffin, Ohio. For a little bit, he was Verbal to Cornell. And I think they had a coaching change, and you know, we stayed on him, and it was a guy that, you know, the coaching staff identified pretty early. And yeah, I think he was underrated, you know. I think the last big board they did, he was like 80 something. I can't imagine that being the case now after an Ironman title and beating a cadet world silver medalist to win the Ironman.
They get a little stingy sometimes on those.
Yeah.
they can push that up a little bit.
I didn't ever help with the high school rankings, so I don't have a problem giving my man David Bray a hard time.
I mean, you know how impossible that job is.
Yeah, you can't win.
I mean, all you're doing, just think of how many high school wrestlers there are, and you're trying to cut it down to 20. All you're doing is finding big tournaments, who won it, throw them in. And throwing a number by their name, and we've said it 1,000 times, they're just numbers. It doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
Still got to go wrestle.
But, I mean, Brody's the same kind of kid as Ian. And I'm sure they're going to be great practice partners together. You know, he's probably a 74-pounder, and I think we see a little bit bigger future in Ian, whether it's 84 or 97. But, he's a great kid, a great student. He was second team All-State in football in Ohio, which is pretty impressive. He had over 100 tackles as a middle linebacker. That's what was pretty crazy about the Ironman titles. It was like 3 weeks removed from his last football game.
Just turn
so
around,
it wasn't like
turn around that quick and win it. That's pretty impressive. Not a lot of time to get things there on the mat.
So we're really excited about this next class we have coming in. And then, you know, I mentioned Titus, and then he's out in New York, and he actually, one of his club coaches was Gregor Gillespie, who wrestled for Coach Flynn and them at Edinburgh.
Nice.
And is now a UFC fighter. So Gregor helped in that regard. And then, you know, Davin Rhodes is an Ohio State champion and actually a Greco national champion. They signed in 2020 as well. He fortunately had an injury pretty early into the season, just wrestling his last open a few weeks ago. And then Garrett Lotzenheiser, who's been starting at 133 this season. He's an Ohio State champion as well, and high school All-American that I think he'll probably be able to gain a lot of experience from this year, you know, and really help him in the future. So I really, like, just you look up and down the room, you know, it's like, okay, this guy was a high school All-American. This guy – one Ironman, this guy, you know, wrestled, who's number one, this guy plays really highly at NHSCA. So it's, you can just see the talent accumulating. And now we just need to keep translating that into wins, you know.
Absolutely.
I think
iron sharpens iron. So the better the room, the better it gets.
And I think you're seeing that progress. You know, Killian is better than he was last year with one arm. He's healthy now. Peyton is clearly better than he was last year. Michael Wolfram was seventh at Big 12 last year and is now ranked in the top 20 in the country. So if we're just able to keep taking those jumps and recruiting and hitting on the transfer portal when we need to, man, I'm really excited for the future. And it's a program that's had a lot of individual success. You know, 5 national champs and 32 All-Americans.
Right. Greg is one of the 3 of them.
Yep. Greg and then Dean Morrison and Scott Collins, the other 2. But if we can just kind of keep putting the pieces together, we are, I think we can be that, you know, sleeping giant that Coach Flynn's talked about and a lot of other people have talked about. You know, we're so lucky with the facilities we have. We have 4 full-size mats. We're the only ones in that facility. We just had a brand new team lounge. We just opened up a new Olympic sports weight room that's attached to the wrestling room with $10 million. That includes new athletic training facilities. We have a nutritionist, we have a sports psychologist, we have our own strength and conditioning coach. We're in the Big 12, which is pretty tough.
But it helps recruiting. You want to go wrestle the best.
Yeah, you build it and they will come. I mean, that's not a lie. Facilities make all the difference. So.
Exactly. We got a sweet deal with Nike. These kids get probably $2,000 worth of gear and backpacks and accessories when they start the season. I know they like the swag. So,
yeah, you beat that.
The the program's set up for success. Now we just have to keep progressing. And obviously we'd already like to be there. I know people are frustrated and I don't blame them at all. We're frustrated too, but we're going to keep chipping away and I think we're going to have a good lunch.
Yeah, Rome wasn't built in a day. So, you know, I think, you know, everything's in place there. I agree.
Good coach.
Yeah.
Obviously, recruiting's going well.
Good director of operations.
Absolutely.
I think everything seems to be in good shape as far as I'm concerned from just someone looking on the outside. And as a fan of wrestling, I think the opportunity is there for West Virginia to really grow leaps and bounds. So
I appreciate that. You know, I think one of the things, another one more aspect I think Coach Flynn has done a really good job is with the culture and academic success. You know, the 4 years before he got here, so they give out scholar All-Americans as well for every NCAA qualifier. They look at their academic grades and see how they did. And I think it's a 3.0. If you're over a 3.0, you're a scholar All-American. And the 4 years before Coach Flynn got here, there was just one. And last year there were three alone, and the team was the top 25 team GPA wise. That was the first time in over 10 years. So we had this past semester, we had over 3.0 again as a team, and 23 guys on the team with over 3.0 and 6 4.0s. So just it's a good culture that's about the right things. And I think
exactly student first, and you're living proof. Do the student part first and it'll take you places. It gives you
opportunities. Absolutely. It opens all kinds of doors for you. And you know, it was funny, we were working with some of the guys test schedules and quiz schedules when we were out in Iowa last week. We can't go over it this time. We both got this quiz, and okay, we'll find another time to go over and work out then, you know. And that's what a lot of people don't realize too with these college wrestlers is, oh, they got schoolwork and they have lives and there's stuff going on in it all the time. Yeah. So they go through a lot and they have a lot on their plate, but man, they handle it well.
Well, like you said, it's all about the culture.
Yeah.
They get the culture right. Yeah. Everything takes care of itself. Man, I hate to run it off, but we're out of time.
Did I talk too much, man?
We really enjoyed talking to you. Oh no, it's perfect. I mean, everything was great. We enjoyed having you. And if you'll stay on for 1 second afterwards, we'll wrap some stuff up. But thanks for joining us.
Yep.
Again, huge thanks to Kyle Brackey for joining us and sharing his story. I'm Daniel Tinch.
And I'm Zach Sayre.
Have a good one, folks.